Hello, Dale Partridge here. You're listening to an episode from the Real Christianity Archive. Veronica and I originally began this podcast under the name Ultimate Marriage as a resource for our online marriage mentor program found at ultimatemarriage.com. While our marriage program is still a critical part of our ministry, after about 30 episodes, we decided to change the name of this podcast to Real Christianity as a way to widen the scope of our biblical content. That said, these are some of our most popular episodes, so please enjoy and stay with us on the journey to bring the church back to the Bible. Hey guys, and welcome to Ultimate Marriage. Today we are talking about
our daily routine and what keeps us close to God.
Yeah, so the daily routine that keeps us close to God. We get this question all the time. We're going to go into a little bit more detail today. And we're also going to offer you guys, I think, some really practical wisdom and practical things to do. Because I think a lot of people are asking for practical stuff. You know, they don't want the, you know, ethereal or theological side all the time.
So we're just going to share what we do and give you guys some ideas.
Yeah. And before we jump into that, this is going to be a little bit of a unique show. We've never done this before, but we've just been praying about this and thought it's important to share and make a request to you guys. So Ultimate Marriage, if you don't know, is a ministry under our nonprofit, relearnchurch.org. And, you know, our mission at Relearn Church is to bring the church back to the Bible. Veronica and I have been planting biblical house churches and have been involved in that kind of movement for some time now. And we started that ministry for that. Ultimate Marriage came under that. And the reason is that in order to have biblical, healthy, fruitful churches, you need to have strong, mature marriages, spiritually mature families, and spiritually mature men. And I don't say to neglect the women, but I really do believe if you fix the men, if you can help them be mature, it really does kind of come down the line in terms of, you know, helps the women, the wives, helps the children, everything falls from the men. And Ultimate Marriage is our effort to fulfill the marriage, I guess, part of that mission, is to help create biblical, thriving, fruitful marriages and to equip Christian couples with what the Bible has to say about having a biblical marriage. And right now, guys, if you don't know, we have 20,000 weekly listeners. It's about 80,000 downloads a month.
And how many weeks have we been doing this?
Yeah, this is 19.
Is it like 18?
So not even a half a year. And we have become the most reviewed and the highest rated marriage podcast in the world. And this is very humbling to us, especially because we've been doing this podcast in the midst of sickness.
Insanity
and trials.
Crazy trials over here.
But I wanted to say a couple things. One is this show brings in zero money. Yeah. We don't have any advertisers on the show. There's no income from this show. And the show costs us about $1,000 a month to put on out of our pocket. That's not including Veronica and I's time. But just in production costs and editing, let alone the equipment, which is thousands and thousands of dollars. And just our team to get this stuff going. So it is expensive, to do. And, I wanted to share a couple testimonials about this podcast that we've heard, and they're just heart-wrenching and incredible and powerful. And I want to share two of them. And some of them are coming from single people. Some of them are coming from teenagers. Some of them are coming from married folks. Some of them are coming from divorcees that are trying to redeem their marriage. I mean, these are incredible.
Some are even from single people.
Some are from single people.
Listening to the marriage podcast.
Yes, yes. And so with such a wide range of listeners to the show, I'm going to read you real quick one of these testimonials, and then Veronica is going to read one as well, just to kind of give you an idea of how the show's impacting some people. This woman says, "My husband and I are so thankful to have found Dale and Veronica through Instagram and have been following their podcast and social media for a few weeks now. It's so refreshing, inspiring, freeing, and convicting to hear their boldness as they preach God's word without dancing around its truths to be relevant. My soul feels like it was aching to be a biblical wife, but I've been told often that the Bible doesn't, quote, really mean what it says a wife should be and do. The last few weeks, God has been freeing me, and I have been constantly repenting of the wife I have been. My husband and I have a marriage that is thriving because God's word is cleansing us through Dale and Veronica's ministry. We are 25 in our second year of marriage and have a 3-month-old baby girl. Our lives have been in chaos for a little while, and our marriage has been on a bad trajectory. I'm so thankful for this podcast and their ministry, which has opened our eyes to where we were not following the Lord and has helped us begin to heal and grow in our marriage. I'm also so thankful that I'm being retaught what the Bible says for me to be and to do as a wife before my daughter is old enough to understand my poor example. Thank you, Jesus, for these people. And so that's just one testimonial, and we get these often. You know, sometimes they're in the form of a Instagram message, mm-hmm. sometimes email, mm-hmm. and sometimes just listed on the
reviews.
Veronica's going to read another one real quick, and I just want you guys to grasp what the Lord is doing here. Mm-hmm. The kingdom perspective, not this isn't our thing, but what the Lord is doing here.
Yeah. So the next review, I'm going to go ahead and read it. As a teenage girl, following your podcast has changed me in a silent but very, very impactful way. I'm currently 16 and I live in Canada. When I first followed, I found that I would immediately disagree with some of the things that you two said, and I think this was because of my liberal and feminist friends have impacted me in my own worldview. Over time, I realized there is so much more truth in your words. Before this year, I was convinced I didn't want to have kids in the future. I figured that there were more important things to do with my life, and family wasn't much of a priority to me. I focused on getting a good education to land a dream job in a few years. I also didn't think much about relationships. It didn't matter to me if I found a boyfriend who was a Christian or not. I had the rest of my life planned out, and family just didn't seem to matter to me much. But some of your episodes have seriously reshaped my attitude towards relationships and family. It started when I noticed how much you emphasize your marriage with Veronica. At first, I imagined your marriage as extremely unequal. I thought it was ridiculous that you had power over her and she was okay with it. But now I've come to realize that it isn't about that. It is about living out the roles which God has called you to. I've learned that I don't have to fit society's expectations of what a woman has to be, and I've learned to recognize my identity in Christ rather than in the world. Thank you.
Okay, so these are, again, just some unique testimonials that are coming through, that the Lord is using this content, the speaking of God's truth, to change people's hearts and minds around marriage.
And there's tons of them like that. I mean, you guys can go to the reviews and read them.
Yeah, they're amazing.
Read them yourselves. There's a ton of them. It's amazing.
Yeah. And
it's humbling.
It is humbling. And beyond this, we've had people that have emailed us, men that are saying, hey, we've quit pornography because of this show. Thank you for sharing the truth about pornography. People who have stopped their divorce, they have divorce papers and they didn't sign them because they listened to an episode. I mean, it is so weird to even talk about, but how the Lord is using this show to really save families. I mean, that's what's happening, is to save families.
Praise God.
And, you know, I wanted to share this because we have an opportunity to grow this show dramatically. We have advertising opportunities that keep presenting themselves that we don't have the funding for. We have production opportunities to make the show better. We have opportunities to get the show featured on certain media outlets and opportunities to get this the show put on other outlets so that everybody that's on iPhone and Android and any other device can actually hear the show. We just don't have the funding.
Yeah. Last year we sold our business and we entered into full-time ministry.
Yep.
And yeah, we've lost a lot of the, I guess,
financing
to produce the show.
Yeah.
And on top of that, like we've said, and if you've been listening to the show for any amount of time, you'll know that we've been what seems like under almost constant attack
yeah.
from the enemy, And so,
and it's limited how much we could work. But we mm-hmm. sold our businesses and we paid off our house. We did the right thing in terms of getting rid of our debt and we made some good investments, but yeah, we don't make lots of money. We come from the entrepreneur space where, yeah, I was an entrepreneur and we were making money, but now we're in ministry. We're pastoring a church, a small home church. And we're doing this and we spend a lot of time studying God's word and ministering to people. And the reason I'm saying this is because I want to ask you guys to consider something. Because this is a ministry under our nonprofit, would you guys, if you've listened to this show regularly, or if this is just your first time and you feel a Lord calling you, would you become a monthly supporter of the podcast? And I'm going to tell you how to do that. I'm talking like $5 to $20 a month, like $5 a month. If you could do $5 a month, that would really, if we can just, there's so much ministry opportunity and there's so much that the Lord can do here, but we do absolutely need your help. And so $5 a month, $10 a month, $25, maybe it's just a one-time thing. It's the end of the year and you want to give $100 or more, whatever you want to do. It would be a huge blessing to us. It's not about paying us salaries. It's not about making, we make enough money to pay for our own bills. We want to make sure that this show goes somewhere. We can invest back into the show and into the ministry. So if you're interested in supporting us in any capacity, you can just go to relearnchurch.org/donate. Again, that's relearnchurch.org/donate. And it's super easy. You can set it up where you can just go like $5. You can check the box to make it monthly. You put your credit card information and it automatically just goes. It'll just send you a receipt every month for $5 or whatever happens there. You can do it from your phone. You can do it anywhere. Again, that's relearnchurch.org/donate. So we just wanted to mention that. It's humbling to ask, but we'd love for your help. And if it's the Lord's work, then he'll get it done. So, moving on into our show today.
Yeah.
Why don't you open up with, some scripture that we're going to talk about?
All right. So we're going to open up with 2 Timothy 2:15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
This scripture has been really important to us. When you think about why have a biblical home, mm-hmm. you know, why, like, what is the argument in scripture to know scripture? What is the argument in scripture to form and conform your house and your schedules and your routine around understanding and knowing the word of God? Well, that's the scripture that we just read. Why don't you read it again?
Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Yeah. So this is 2 Timothy 2:15. And I want to break this down real quick. And then I'm going to break down one more verse. And then Veronica is going to share her daily routine, some of the things that she does in her weekly and monthly schedules to make sure that we have a biblical home. And then I'm going to do the same thing. So the first thing it says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God. So I want to talk about diligent. Are you diligent? I know, you know, my flesh doesn't want to read the Bible. Like in my flesh, I don't want to put time aside to read the Bible. I don't want to put time aside to pray. I don't want to put time aside to study. I don't want to put time aside to lead my family, to pray with my family, to teach my wife the word. I don't want to do any of that in my flesh, you know? And so we have to recognize that this is a call to be diligent, to be diligent.
To be faithful.
Yeah, to be faithful. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to do. Mm-hmm. But this is Paul talking to Timothy. This is what I would believe is an absolute doctrine to the church, universal doctrine. And this is be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And a worker who does not need to be ashamed means that you can be ashamed for not studying. If you don't know, and you can't rightly divide the word of truth, if you don't know the word of God, a child who doesn't know his father's desires should feel shameful. Now, it doesn't mean that you feel guilty in terms of like you're losing your salvation or that you're lost or that you're outside of his love. But you can absolutely be disciplined through that kind of conviction of, oh, I don't know. Not because you're new, but because you've been around for a long time and you haven't taken the initiative to be diligent to show yourself approved. Mm. You've actually denied and been lazy because you haven't prioritized the Word of God in your life. And this is what the scripture is talking about. Paul's saying, be diligent and be approved, where God goes, wow, yeah, you know the word, you know what's right. You can rightly divide the word of truth. And I want to talk lastly about that concept of rightly dividing. You can wrongly divide the word of truth.
Yeah, that's what it's implying.
Well, we've met people that have wrongly divided the truth on almost every matter. Mm-hmm. And sadly, in humility, we have too. Mm-hmm. It is a practice of learning to rightly divide the word of truth. And that's understanding hermeneutics in terms of the art and interpretation, the art and science of interpretation of scripture. It's a big word, very easy understanding, but understanding how to read the Bible. Beyond that, this word rightly dividing could also mean you're so mature that you know how to rightly divide the truth in this manner, that you would give the gospel to the lost, that you would give milk to the babies, that you would give meat to the adults. Means that you know how to divide the word up in the way that you present it to other people. And that is a sign of maturity. This scripture is a call for us to be mature believers, among many others in scripture. So I want you guys just to take this whole thing that we're talking about before Veronica starts here in a second and just blanket it with this idea of God calls us, the scriptures call us to know the word and know it well. Mm-hmm. The second scripture I'm going to read, I feel like I'm doing too much talking today, but
well, I'll get into it next,
is Jeremiah 9, 23 through 24. Why don't you read it for me?
Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories in this, that he understands and knows me well.
Yes. And so this concept of, but let him who glories, glory in this, that he understands and knows me. And so I want to make sure you guys hear the distinction between understanding and knowing God. Knowing God is reading God's word. Lots of Christians know God. Very few Christians, sadly, in the church in America today understand God. They can't explain their faith. They can't share the gospel. They don't know how to do it. They can't defend the basic elements of the faith. They can't get in a conversation about creation versus evolution. They can't have a conversation about biblical sexuality. They can't understand a conversation about life and when does it begin. There's a lack of understanding the deeper parts of God. Knowing God is reading God's word and praying. Just the same as knowing a person. You know, how do we know people?
Like, spend time with them.
Yeah.
Get to know them. Ask them questions.
Which is different.
Dive into conversation.
And it's different than understanding somebody. Mm-hmm. You know, how long does it take to understand somebody? You know?
A couple years? I don't know. It depends on how deeply you know them.
Yeah. And I think it's the hours, right? It's like, it's the amount of hours that you spend with these people. And so study time, like where you get to really unearth through trials, through pain, through experiences, through history, through on your face prayer, through moments, through really getting deep into the word of God, understanding God. So we take these two scriptures and kind of put them as the foundation of why we do and why we live the life that we live. How we order our lives and our daily routines. And you should too. I'm encouraging you guys to do that. And so Veronica's going to share with what she does, and then I will share what I do.
Yeah, so when we're trying to keep God and Christ at the center of our marriage and our family and our life, the first thing I would do is just seek Dale's leadership in that. I'll ask him if there's anything that he wants me to be reading. Is there anything that he wants me to learn, or what he wants me to be reading in scripture. And then I'll ask him if there's anything that I should, in particular, that he wants me to be teaching and guiding the children in. Obviously, mm-hmm. he does most of that. But I kind of execute your, I guess, call on that.
Leadership, vision on that, yeah.
And sometimes you'll give me passages of scripture that you want me to read, and other times, usually I'm just kind of already reading something.
Sure.
And I'll just chat with you about what I'm reading.
And this doesn't mean that Veronica doesn't have her own relationship with God where she can determine what she's going to read. She just turns to me in that.
Yeah, and the reason I do that, in Ephesians 5:24, it says, therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. So I kind of defer to Dale in all things, especially our faith. And then, so my kind of day starts out, I wake up early, I wake up about an hour and a half before the kids, and I go into my lovely closet and I read my Bible for, about, I don't know, 20 to 30 minutes, probably about 30 minutes. And that's followed by exercise. So usually I'll exercise for about 20 or 30 minutes before that, just to kind of wake me up. I'm not a morning person, so I'll exercise and then I'll read my Bible.
And I know we've answered some of these questions around this before, but bear with us. We're going to go a little bit deeper into detail than what we have in the past.
And again, this happens. I do this all before the kids wake up. Once I'm done reading my Bible, then I'll start getting ready for the day. And then by the time the kids come down, I'm generally ready. And then during the school day, or just the day, if I'm homeschooling or if I'm not homeschooling, you know, my daughter's like barely doing kindergarten stuff. And so it's not like I don't have to be super consistent with her right now yet. But yeah, I'll walk with the kids and through some short Bible time story, and I'll explain to them what it means, and I'll try and make whatever it is I teach them into a tangible lesson, some type of craft that goes with what we're learning.
Yeah, we just did the creation story. So the kids were, you know.
Yeah, every day we did a day of creation.
Yeah, and 7 days of creation.
At the end, she made her little, she had a creation book. And so we put all the pictures that she made into this book that she has, and it's her creation book. And she's really excited about that. So yeah, and I try to make it fun for them too, which is why we do the crafts and stuff. So that way they associate learning about God as fun and it's enjoyable. And another thing that I often have to remind myself is that for me, the Great Commission starts with my children. I am preaching the gospel to my children all day long in a variety of ways. That being one of them, teaching them creation, the creation story.
Yeah. And if you, you know, I've seen so many mothers that love their children and hate motherhood because they don't have a vision for what they're doing in terms of a kingdom vision.
Yeah. I think it's really important to remember that our children, if they have not accepted Christ, are lost. They're little lost people that don't have the Holy Spirit. And you have to have a kingdom perspective in your day-to-day parenting. Because if not, if you're just annoyed that your kid's doing this again and again and again, and it's an inconvenience, you know, there's going to be a ton of inconvenient moments in parenting in life. But if you have a kingdom perspective, you don't necessarily look at the issue at hand is an inconvenience. You look at it as a privilege to do the work of the ministry that God has put on you. You see it as a privilege to, and a moment to guide their spirits.
And to, you can endure.
Yes.
With a vision.
Totally.
You know, that, you know, you can go, oh, I can deal with this issue because I can see what I'm really doing here.
Yes.
And if you don't, if you forget for a second, look at a mother with older children who are in their 20s now and go, man, there will be a day, you know, that my boys and girls will be not boys and girls, but husbands and wives and mothers and fathers themselves.
Men and women. And there's this quote, I'm sure a lot of you guys have heard it, especially if you're a parent. It says the days are long, but the years are short. So the days, yes, are there very long, especially if you have multiple little children like I do. And I know some people that have even more children than I do that are, you know, back to back. And it's exhausting. The days are long, but the years are short. My daughter's going to be 5 in 2 months. Like, that's insane. The years are short. Like, when I think about that, I'm like, wow, that went by really, really fast.
Yeah. Yeah, 4 times that, she's going to be 20. And that's just mind-boggling to us.
Yeah. And then during the day, we have dance parties to worship music. Mm-hmm. We do a lot of those. It's really cute. Honor's now starting to, Mom, I want dance. I want dance. It's really cute. So yeah, we do that every day, just about every day. And then when Dale's done is done working for the day, I try and make a clear distinction of deferring to him to help represent the biblical roles, our biblical roles to the children.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of times we'll flirt in front of the kids. We'll make it clear and evident that Mom and Dad love each other, mm-hmm. that I'll purposefully ask you questions about scripture. So that way you have an opportunity to explain them to me in front of the kids so they can see that walked out as an example. Sometimes we'll even have to like purposefully schedule and like write down that we need to have time to like cuddle on the couch and like sit with each other, because I'm not naturally a super physically affectionate, lovey-dovey, like physical touch is not one of my love languages. So it doesn't just naturally come to me, but I want our kids to remember that like Mom and Dad loved each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll do that. We'll just go sit on the couch and have the kids sit on the floor, do blanket time and play with a puzzle or a game. And
yeah, they can see Mom and Dad loving each other. Mm-hmm. And generally that means Dad smacking Mom's butt, but hey, but it's a fun, easy way to again, reinforce the love that you guys have for each other in front of your children. And
then, yeah, throughout the month or the week, some weeks I'll meet one-on-one with another woman in our home fellowship. And then a couple times a month, I'm generally gathering with like a group of women to have a Bible study or come prepared to be taught something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I'm not the only person that is pouring into her life. I'm the main person.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But she, yeah, and she doesn't, I'm not the one that's only bearing her burdens. She also has other women who are bearing burdens with her, and that, you know, I've seen so many couples fall apart because they are the only people to bear the burdens of each other.
Mm-hmm.
There is no church element, and God designed the church for that specific reason. There's 100 one another's in the scriptures. And if the wife only can bear the burdens of the husband, and the husband can only bear the burdens of the wife, eventually it weighs them down. They need those extramarital relationships with other people of the same sex, meaning that, you know, men with men and women with women, that they can just share those burdens together. On your point, I wanted to catch, you know, there's a quote that I say often is, you know, the relationship with your spouse might be the only marriage book mm-hmm. that your children ever read. Make sure it's not fiction, or make sure it's not a horror story, you know? And so, you know, that's a big representation is, yeah, just their kids are watching you.
Mm-hmm.
You are developing their faith. Is Mom and Dad a hypocrite? Are they hypocrites?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah. Are we actually, do we say one thing and live out our life another way? Or are we practicing what we preach?
Yeah. Yeah. And they can evaluate that even now.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
And so, a couple things I want to clarify is that we don't want to create wholly irrelevant children, meaning that you're like so separate that you're irrelevant. Like you're not of the world and you're not in it either. You know, they don't know how to relate with people. We've seen this. I mean, the homeschooling children of like the 90s, you know, in terms of lots of, this is a fear for people to homeschool their children is that they won't have any social skills or whatever.
That's,
right?
Yeah. That's almost always the first question. Like, so what are you gonna do about socialization?
Yeah. And so I go, we are absolutely working hard to make sure that our kids, you know, understand logic, understand reason, understand, you know, the philosophy behind their faith, understand how to defend their faith, understand the, you know, a proper worldview, understand what's going on in culture, understand good and evil, right and wrong. And it is a lot of work. But we have to remember that Satan's plan for keeps for your children's hearts. And it's not in the teen years, it's in the toddler years in terms of you watch, they're sinful little beings.
It's from the second they come out of the womb.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's absolutely just all of a sudden they're manipulating you. And so we are very intentional about that. And I think that's important to note. I'm going to share my routine. And it's pretty simple. It doesn't take much to lead your family spiritually. I think that there's just this, people don't know what that means. Men don't know what that means. I don't think women know what that means. You know, like, what does it mean to be the spiritual leader of your home? I'm going to make it really practical for you guys. And also, I also am going to just say, just start. Just start doing something. Yeah, do something. And so I really have five things that I do that are, that keep everything functioning. And if you just do these five things and make it as logically and practically as you want, put them on your calendar. I don't care. It doesn't have to be emotional in the beginning.
And this is currently for our season of life.
Yeah.
This can change.
Totally.
5 to 10 years from, or even sooner. It can change from now.
You know,
this is just currently what we are doing in our season of life with three young children.
Totally. Good clarification point right there. So the first thing is that make sure you got 15 to 30 minutes on your own with the Lord every day in the morning. You know, 5 to 6 days a week, 5 to 7 days a week. I mean, you might have church on certain days, but if you can do it every day, do it every day. Do it every day. Don't beat yourself up if you miss a day. I do this, you know, in the morning. I'll spend 15, 20 minutes. And I try to read through like an entire book of the Bible, like a New Testament book. You know, I try to just go, like this morning I read through the second half of 1 John. And I just pondered, I did some little bit of research on a couple scriptures. And sometimes I might read like all of Galatians, or, you know, I'll read Ephesians or Titus or whatever it might be. But, and then there's times where, you know, like Veronica's still going through the Bible. I read the Bible cover to cover last year, and it might just be that I'm just doing my daily reading. And if you can, do it in front of your family, and not on your phone. If you read your Bible on your phone, your kids are going to confuse, oh, Dad was just on his phone all the time. Pull your Bible out. Let your kids see you reading the Bible. That's a very easy thing to do. So that's step one. Have the time by yourself. Number two, start the day with family prayer. So in the morning, when you go out, if you can, or when you get home from work, if you can't, because, you know, depending on your work schedule, pray with your family. Gather everybody together and pray. Just, and you can lead it out. You can let your kids join. You can let your wife join. Whatever you want to do, it's your family. But it's super simple to start with daily prayer. I do that in the morning during Bible time, which I'll talk about here in a second. Number three is morning Bible time.
Yeah.
It's so simple. Read one chapter out of the Bible. You can use your regular ESV or New King James version of your Bible, or you can use a kid's Bible if you want to. We do both. We don't do the super little kiddie Bibles, but like we're okay with just reading kind of the straight scripture through.
We'll go back and forth between regular ESV Bible or New King James. And yeah, the children's illustrated Bible, because I know I'll have people writing me asking me. The one that we use is called the children's illustrated Bible.
Yeah. And so, and we just go through those things. And I read one section a day, and it takes me 5 to 10 minutes. And then we pray as a family. And I start it out, and then sometimes my daughter will pray, sometimes Veronica will pray. And it's a moment to just start the day with prayer. Simple thing. So we've done three steps so far. You have some time by yourself, 15 to 30 minutes. You start the day with prayer. You do Bible time with your kids. And again, if you can't do it in the morning, do it at night.
And if your kids are older, I know of some families that, yeah, they do this in the morning as well with their older kids. But I know some families that do it in the evening. So they'll have dinner, and then after dinner, they'll all gather in the living room. They'll sit, talk, pray, and have Bible time with the older kids as a family.
Yeah.
So do whatever works for your schedule.
Just do that. And then number four is have one conversation with your wife per day about God. Just ping her. Just say, hey, what, you know, what's going on? How you feeling today? You know, have you prayed today? Hey, what'd you read today? Hey, what are you learning? You know, do you have a hard day? What's the Lord doing in your heart? Hey, I read something about this today. I wanted to share it with you. Like whatever it is, bring God up in your house once a day with your wife. That's it. I don't care if you need to put a reminder in your phone to ping you when you get home. You can do that. Like the geo reminders, do it. And it just, again, guys are super practical, super logical, make it super practical and super logical. By doing, we understand. And so the more you do it, the more you understand why you do it, and the more you'll want to do it. And I would also, on top of that, number four there, I would say check in with her on a weekly basis just to go, hey, how you doing? Like spiritually speaking, how you doing? And if your wife is constantly breaking down, it's because you've gone too long without asking her those questions. You want a wife that doesn't break down, unless you're in crazy trials like we are. But I mean, in general life, if you want a wife that's not breaking down because she's been neglected, you want to catch those things early. And the way you catch those things is, hey, how you doing? Once a week. Number five, and I think this is a killer practical tip. Men, put your kids to bed. Okay, you do the morning. If you could do the morning with them and then put them to bed, man, that is like framing the day for your kids. They're going to always remember that dad spent some time with us in the morning and he put us to bed at night.
And I was with him all day in the middle.
And Veronica was with him all day in the middle. And so I put our kids to bed.
It's a sandwich,
yeah.
Dad's sandwich.
Yeah, exactly. And I ask my kids, so I get them to bed, you brush their teeth, you know, rub their back, sing a little song with them. And then I ask them a question, generally every night. I ask them, what's the most important thing we can ever do? And Veronica, what do they say?
Follow God's word.
Follow God's word. They answer back. Okay. My 2-year-old and my 4-year-old, almost 5-year-old, answer back, follow God's word. And I go, where do you find God's word? And they say,
the Bible.
And they're going to memorize that. They're going to know that forever. What's the most important thing you ever do? You can follow God's word.
And before we've done that, there was a season where we were just teaching. This is mostly Aria specifically because Honor was much younger, but we were teaching her the Ten Commandments. So every night we would go over the Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
What's the first commandment? What's the second commandment?
Yeah. No other gods. And then no idols.
Yeah. And then we'd start doing them in order. And so for a long time, she knew all Ten Commandments. She knows them. She probably just doesn't know them in order anymore because it's been a while.
And she was knowing the Ten Commandments at 3 years old. Mm-hmm. And the reason you teach your kids the Ten Commandments is that eventually they will realize that they cannot keep them. And will recognize that they're in need of a savior. Mm-hmm. And so we do that. It's important to teach your kids the Ten Commandments. The other thing, men, I want you to listen up real quick, that I do that was told to me, I think by David and Jason Benham, awesome guys that I were friends with. They said, hey, what's your family statement? Like, what do you do? Like, what do you teach your kids? You know, they have a saying for their kids, you know, Benhams are this, you know, it could be Smiths or that, you know, what are partridges? What do partridges do? And I started this phrase with the kids, and they know it. I tell it to them often. I say, hey, what do partridges do? And they'd answer, we follow God and we lead others. And that's our phrase. Come up with your phrase. You can take our phrase if you want. But that's one other thing. So those 5 steps, time in the word by yourself, start the day with prayer, with family prayer, Bible time with your kids at some point during the day, conversation about God with your wife and keep checking in with her, and then put your kids to bed and do some sort of routine. You do these 5 things and you are checking off the box of spiritual leader in your home. It's that easy. Now it's intentional and it takes work to get into the routine. But
it's so normal for us now, though.
It is normal. Yeah.
We don't even second guess it or think it. It's we're so used to doing it. It's just part of our life. It's what we do.
Yeah. And I'm telling you guys that's it right there for the men. If you can just start there, man, the Lord will do so much in your home and in your family. And then, the other things that I'm doing, I am meeting with men one-on-one. I have a men's meeting every Wednesday for the local guys at our church. We gather together and they bear my burdens. I bear their burdens. We talk. I have one-on-one meetings with other men as well. And we are consistent in church too. It's an important part, men, to make sure that your family is consistent, gathering with the saints, finding a good Bible-based church, or establishing and planting a biblical house church. You can learn more about that at relearnchurch.org. That's our other ministry. But we prioritize the meeting of the saints. It says in Hebrews 10:24-25, not forsaking the gathering of yourselves together as is the manner of some. Don't forsake the meeting of the saints. It is the place in which we get edified on a weekly basis so that we can do the work of our ministry for the rest of the week. And that is part of our routine, and I make sure that that happens. And we miss very little church.
Maybe two a year, if maybe more if we're sick or we're out of town. But
yeah, but
when we go out of town, we'll leave like Monday and come back Saturday. Yeah. So we're home for Sunday.
Yeah, we try to prioritize our time because we believe the Lord is doing something in church. So that's our routine. Mm-hmm. Hopefully that was helpful for you guys and you guys can take something in it. Again, I know we've talked about this before, but we wanted to really drive it home for you who have been listening to the show. We have no questions today because it's a little bit of a longer show.
But we do have memory verse. So I will read the memory verse to you for this week,
yep.
Which I'm sure if you listen to our show, you probably can already guess what it is.
Yep.
2 Timothy 2:15, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
I memorized this scripture about 2 years ago, and I use it all the time.
I generally have memorized just because I've heard you say it so many times.
It's an important scripture for people to read if you're especially teaching other people.
I've never like intentionally tried to memorize it. I just kind of know it just because I hear from you.
Yeah. So again, guys, if you feel led to support us in our ministry, we've never done this before. We've never done a nonprofit. We've never had people donate to us. It is so foreign to us, but we hope that the Lord is going to fulfill his work. And we know that God has more to do in us than through us, but we would love to push forward and we could absolutely use the funding for the Lord's work. So again, if you want to make a donation, you can go to relearnchurch.org/donate. All right, guys.
That's it.
We got to bring in an epic show next week. I think we're going to tackle finally the conversation of biblical community and biblical church.
Mm.
I've been hesitant to do this show because I want to put so much effort into it.
Well, then you guys can be praying for us this week.
Yeah. So, we'll bring that to you guys, Lord willing. And thanks for joining us. And we will see you guys next Wednesday. Hey everyone, Dale Partridge here. Thanks for listening to this episode. We wanted to quickly tell you about our 12-week online marriage mentor program.
Yeah, Dale and I designed a powerful biblical curriculum with 12 themes, one for each week. Here's how it works. Every 7 days, Dale and I release a 45-minute lesson on that week's theme and also provide a weekly marriage challenge PDF for you and your spouse to incorporate those teachings directly into your marriage.
Yeah, it's an incredible program where we cover everything from sex and money to children and biblical roles. But more than that, it's an incredible community. You'll have access to our private online group and the Ultimate Marriage text message line where Veronica and I can send you weekly encouragements and wisdom straight to your phone. The catch is this: we only open up registration for a few weeks per year, about 2 to 3 times per year. So if you're interested in joining our next group, then sign up to be notified about our next enrollment period. Just go to ultimatemarriage.com/notify. Again, that's ultimatemarriage.com/notify. Thank you for joining us on this episode of Ultimate Marriage. If you're homesick for a stronger marriage, visit our website at ultimatemarriage.com and consider enrolling in our 1-year online marriage mentor program. Also, if you're interested in learning more about building a better marriage, follow Veronica and I on social media, where each week we share tips, tricks, and lessons on building a biblical marriage.